Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. So glad you are, too. You can go to katedalyradio.com. You can find us on The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter, of course. And make sure you get over to the website, Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is the product that I take, and it is a supplement that is fantastic to get your fruits and vegetables and to help your immune system, regulate your sugar. In the drink, it also comes with, there's also turmeric and all kinds of wonderful natural things in it to help your body get back to what it once was or what it should be if it never was there for you. Make sure that you're getting your health in line right now. Make sure that you are concerned about it because you're not getting enough vitamins from our food supply. And we've done a lot of shows on that. And let me tell you, it scares me what we're doing to our food supply. Make sure that you are getting that supplement. And you can get 25% off right now by putting in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, K-A-T-E. And make sure that you're doing that at Balance of Nature when you order. That way you get that extra savings. It's already affordable. Now you get extra savings. But try it out and see how you feel. It gave me energy. Within about a week, I was feeling like, wow, what am I doing that's causing all this? And my husband felt the same way. So make sure that you are taking that. It's fantastic. A couple of things. We've been talking a little bit about the Constitution. And you know, we were just talking about those cheerleaders penalized, right? For freedom of speech, standing and taking a photo with a Trump banner. I mean, how dare they? He's only the president of our country.
Mm-hmm.
How dare they do that? And then John Stossel did a man on the street about the Constitution. It was interesting how many people didn't know.
Yeah.
Haven't read it. Sad. It's sad. Let me say this. I thought this was great. And this was a piece about, let me tell you. I'm going to quote somebody, then I'll tell you who it was. This is what he said. After weeks of fruitless effort, the oldest delegate rose, addressing the chairman. He said, "The small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks is melancholy proof of the imperfections of human understanding. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of man." Citing the Bible, he added, "And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in political building no better than the builders of Babel." The speaker? Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they spoke like this a lot. And we don't think about that because we've become so PC'd since the 50s. We don't realize that this was an everyday conversation. Because even me saying this on the radio right now, for the whole world to hear, oh my gosh, she's talking about God on the radio. Yeah, because the founders talked about him all the time.
Yep.
And we need to understand that that's how it came about. On this day, 1787, delegates to the Constitutional Convention signed the Constitution. Benjamin Franklin had been spotted by a Philadelphia matron as he emerged from that meeting, and she was curious. And what had the delegates been doing behind closed doors? She reportedly called out, "What have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" And his response was, "A republic if you can keep it." You know, it's interesting. What have we got? What have we got in this new country? A republic or a monarchy? Those were the choices. Republic hadn't been done. This was new territory. And so, we modern Americans easily believe this misquote, right? Because some people think he said a democracy, if you can keep it, because the foundations of our Constitution aren't taught. It was a republic. People think it says democracy. They think we are a democracy. What a mistake. What a mistake that is.
And yet we hear it every time a congressman opens his mouth.
Right, right. We're a democracy only in the way that we elect representation,
right,
that builds the republic. And so it's kind of interesting that people just think that we're a democracy and that's it. That is not it. And so simple democracy is one of the greatest of evils. You get a crowd going, an emotionally ignorant crowd, you can do a lot of things that aren't right because the crowd wants it.
We see it every day.
Yeah. I hearken back to the witch trials. So same exact kind of thing. So even a signatory to the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Rush, said that a simple democracy is one of the greatest evils. He said another signer agreed. Another signer of the Constitution agreed and said pure democracy cannot subsist long, nor be carried far into the Department of State. It is very subject to caprice and madness of popular rage. There is a thing called popular rage. Mm-hmm. Have you seen these groups out there? Mm-hmm. And so in a simple democracy, 51% can rule the other 49% all the time without question. Imagine what a bare or emotional majority can do in the wake of such an event, even like 9/11. Look at what we did, you know?
Yep.
We were, a majority of us were in favor of going to war with a country that didn't have anything to do with 9/11. Think about that. It can go very wrong. And so, the founders rejected the simple democracy. Did they mean they rejected self-governance? No, they did not. The founders had just fought this very, very bloody revolution, and they'd made a lot of personal sacrifices. And hence the song that Ray Charles was singing, right?
Yeah.
Self-interest, right? Mm-hmm. That he was singing about, and the absence of self. And they did it all, at least partly because they had no representation in Parliament. And so the principles of self-governance were so important to the founders. That's why they didn't want to list every single thing that we could do.
Right.
They only wanted to list the things the government was supposed to protect, right? But not everything that you could do. They believed in self-governance.
Well, that's why it specifically says, mm-hmm, if the Constitution doesn't say the government can do it,
right,
then they can't. And yes, those things are left up to the people.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it is so important to understand that the founders solved the problem of minority political interests and the small states. How could they be represented next to the big states? And the founders solved this problem by creating a constitution that combines democracy, self-governance, with federalism, states' rights, and republicanism, deliberation, and compromise. And this is why we have a Senate, one state, one vote, and a House, one person, one vote. And this is why our government's divided into three equal co-branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. It's why we have a supermajority doing things like amend the Constitution. It's why we have presidential vetoes. It's why we have an electoral college. What is the left trying to destroy? The electoral college.
Yep.
They want to get their hands on that so bad. And so when the checks and balances in our Constitution are respected, then they enable us to, accomplish the near impossible, be self-governing. But people today have a hard time with being self-governing. They want to turn and put they want to make themselves dependent to the government by putting the government in charge and making them a sort of a god and giving them leeway into their lives. Right? It's the biggest mistake we could make as a people.
Yeah. It is.
It is. We get all this freedom, and then what do? We want to give it back because we're not comfortable with the way everybody does things. So we want the government to come in and create more and more dependency.
Well, and we've also trusted that our Congress, mm-hmm, follows the Constitution.
They don't.
And they not at all.
No, they don't at all. And so we have a sincere problem with that. And then we also what the government gets to do and what they don't get to do. Does everybody remember Kamala Harris standing there and basically wanting to do everything for you as a citizen and telling you that she was in charge of everything, your health care, your education, crime, infrastructure, the common cold? She was going to make sure, you know, standing there. And a lot of presidents, not just somebody running for president like Kamala, or any of the gang of theater actors that they have represented as the Democratic Party, but also on the Republican side too. And they'll tell you, you know, they're going to solve every problem you have. Even Trump's been guilty of that a little bit too. And so we have to make sure that we understand that this isn't their role. It's not up to them. Has nothing to do with them. And the Constitution doesn't grant the federal government such unlimited authority. And neither Congress nor the presidency nor the courts were created to exercise it. So the Constitution fashioned the federal government to address a limited number of activities contained in that document's enumerated powers. And the remainder were exclusively at the domain of the state and local government and private sector. And so the system of divided authority is called federalism. And this this was by Rob Nadelson. And as he explained, all these newly published documents from America's founding offer a lot of insight into how federalism was supposed to work. When the proposed Constitution became public, September 17th, 1787, Americans could see that the list of powers the Constitution granted the federal government was a generous one, and it encompassed nearly the entire scope of national defense and foreign affairs. It embraced certain key economic functions, such as patents, copyrights, and trade flowing, across the political borders. It also included authority in certain cases to prevent states from abusing their own citizens. So the list also included authority to hold the Union together. Now, the framers recognized that there were problems, and they weren't problems that the federal government could or should solve. That is huge. They recognized that there were problems, but they didn't want the federal government solving them. That is why they left most of the areas of life to exclusive responsibility of state, local governments, and private sector. So despite the Constitution's federal structure, many in the founding generation didn't think it limited the central government sufficiently, and they wanted to be able to govern themselves in their own states and local communities. They didn't want Congress or federal judges or officials imposing uniform policies on the entire country. This is also why the Supreme Court has never been given the ability to create a federal law. They can only render in an opinion of the Supreme Court. There is no such thing as rendering a federal law from the Supreme Court like that. So the members of the founding generation had good reasons for fearing all the centralized power, because it was in their history. It's in every history of every group of people under the same kind of tutelage. So concentrated power usually grows into oligarchy, dictatorship. And they questioned whether Congress could have the information or judgment necessary to tailor all those laws for every nook and cranny of the nation. They knew they couldn't do it, and they didn't want them to. And they recognized that when the government remained local, citizens had more say in how it was run. And if somebody was severely disaffected with state policies, he could also move to a different state. If you don't like it, you can leave. Yeah, that. They were actually okay with that, because then the states had the freedom to be governed by the people, right? Decide the things they wanted to decide. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature.
Oh, call